Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Political Talk with Tanbir, with your host, Tanbir Chowdhury. So, to start off on episode two, I wanted to offer a huge congratulations to Nick Ribondo, a progressive Democrat who ran for Ohio's 5th District and has won his primary by 21 points. I work with a group to amplify the messages and policies of progressive campaigns nationwide. His was one of them, so I am extremely thrilled that of his victory, and it is a great sign. Puts us forward. We have literally hundreds of progressives still running in remaining states to unseat not just Republicans, but Democratic corporate bought representatives as well. So, on today's episode, we'll be discussing the presidential elections and the candidates, mainly the Democratic nominee Joe Biden. With that being said, I have the privilege of interviewing a longtime friend of mine who is currently undecided and a swing voter, Eric Ramjetan. Eric, thank you for joining us on tonight's episode. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Cambier.
All right. So to start off, I wanted to ask what you are looking for when you're voting for the next president of the United States.
So mainly what I'm looking for is someone who wants to work for the common purpose instead of corporations. Putting Americans first is what I think is most important for any president to do. Taking into account what the people want and not what your lobbyists want is a huge thing in government that I think we lack heavily in all of the candidates, both Republican and Democratic, and in our current president, Donald Trump.
Right. So with that being said, Donald Trump clearly, is disfavored. We're not fans of him, you and I,
Yeah,
but
first off.
we find ourselves conflicted. So I wanted to ask you, why do you feel reluctant in voting for Joe Biden?
So, Joe Biden is really having trouble winning over the Bernie Sanders fan base, I guess we'll call it. So it's a bunch of progressive thinkers who want things like Medicare for all, things like free college tuition, basically many of Bernie Sanders' policies, since they're pretty much all progressive. But his, like I've been trying to think about what he really is trying to do, and I think he's trying to sort of give us some compromises between what the quote unquote moderate Democrats want and what progressives want. So one of those compromises that comes to mind is the Medicare, his stance on Medicare for all. He said he would veto it if he had the chance, right? So it's something that a lot of progressive people, myself included, believe in and think that it's
And
necessary in a country like America, right?
one of the key arguments for Medicare for All was it would never pass Congress. And then Joe Biden turned around and kind of pushed that argument further and said, well, even if it did, it wouldn't pass me. A lot of people did not like that at all.
So the thing is that he claims that he doesn't support it because of the cost. And for me, it's like, who, why would you want to put a cost on an American life? You know what I mean? If it could save someone's life, it should be free. Somebody shouldn't have to pay $20,000 out of pocket because they needed some emergency surgery desperately. You know what I mean? So like his policy is to sort of have a private healthcare industry while also having a public healthcare as well, which is like a compromise between the people who want Medicare for all, public healthcare for all, universal mandated healthcare for the entire country, and the conservatives who would rather not have government meddling in the healthcare industry at all and just let that industry basically run for itself and hopefully all the kinks will work out, right?
And
Exactly.
the healthcare system of America is clearly severely flawed because there's millions of Americans who can't afford prescription medications and procedures while the healthcare industry rakes in over $100 billion in
And
profits alone a year. And then we live in New York, we're a state that borders Canada. So when we see a Canadian, when we see a prescription drug in Canada costing $30 and over here it costs like 600, it really has you thinking, what the hell is going
It
on
does.
here?
And that's even more that's even more exposed in today's world with this coronavirus pandemic going on. It's like
Exactly, yes.
there's so many people, especially in disenfranchised neighborhoods of minorities and low income brackets, who are being affected more by the virus than others. And it sort of goes to show like the people who need the public health care are the people who are dying. The people who need Medicare for All are the people who are dying. We've seen like a surge of cases in New York City. Me and you live here, and we've seen the worst, literally the worst that this country has ever seen, right? So it's like they have to make a strong decision about healthcare in this country because it's something that is essential, and I don't think it should be given to those who can afford it, but just to everyone in general. You know what I mean? Right.
So I wanted to ask you for the next question because clearly, your reluctance with Joe Biden, as millions, nothing wrong with it, but your reluctance in voting for Joe Biden is policy based. You know, a lot of people thought Bernie endorsed Biden, he got Bernie supporters. That ended up severely failing. So I wanted to ask you, what will it take for Joe Biden to earn your vote? Like, will it be him adopting policies? Will it be his running mate? If so, who?
The thing is that Joe Biden really thought that he would win everyone's vote once he got a Bernie Sanders endorsement, which obviously is not true. For me, it's mainly policy based, right? But what I'm seeing is that if he can pick the right candidate, pick the right person to be his vice president, he would have a better chance of earning my vote. Not as much as he would if he changed his policies, but he can definitely influence me in a positive way if he picks the right running mate. Just because it would help if he picks someone who is actually progressive
And you
compared
know,
to him being more moderate.
right. And then when you're looking at our current vice president today, it kind of sets the bar low.
I mean, that's the thing. Mike Pence, when I from what I remember from the 2016 election, Mike Pence was not really, nobody was talking about running mates, essentially. And I don't even remember who Hillary's running mate was.
Tim Kaine. Yeah, that was a that's a topic I won't discuss on here because it'll take a while of sharp criticism.
That's a huge box to unpack.
A lot of things wrong with the Hillary campaign in 2016. But
But if he makes the right choice in his running mate and it's someone who's vocal, someone who's out there, someone who can actually voice their opinions and will win over the progressive voters, I could see that actually winning over a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters if he picks the right running mate, which we'll
we can
see.
only hope
We'll
he does,
see.
right? So I wanted to ask you about a huge controversy surrounding Joe Biden now that is finally coming to light. So we know he has sexual allegations against him by Tara Reid. So whether it's people using that allegation to hurt Joe Biden or if it's people accusing the allegation of being a smear campaign, we all know how Trump, Kavanaugh, and Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore got treated with their allegations. So it's pretty. You'd be lying if you were saying that justice hasn't become a partisan and political thing for many, which isn't exactly a right approach. So whether you believe it or not, you would want an investigation to take its course to offer closure. So where do you stand in terms of that allegation, and does that impact your decision?
So the thing about the allegations is that they have not really been investigated, to my knowledge, by any sort of government entity, the FBI, any sort of Justice Department, nothing. So there's not really any way to know whether or not they're true. However, in terms of people calling it a smear campaign, I point their attention to the allegations against Donald Trump and Brett Kavanaugh, who when the same people who are defending Biden now, saying that it's a smear campaign. Tara Reid is running a smear campaign against Joe Biden now.
Right.
Are the same people who wanted so badly for Donald Trump to be investigated and
Right.
wanted real justice.
Yeah,
But
you know, because their argument now is, oh, why did Tara Reid wait this long to come out?
Mm-hmm.
But
the
you
same
know,
argument could have been made
exactly.
for...
Republicans made that
Right,
argument with
exactly.
Brett Kavanaugh and Donald Trump, and we did not like that at all.
Yeah.
So,
So what's happening is people are being picky and choosy over who they believe based on, you know, political bias, and that's not correct at all.
Right.
Justice, like you said, it shouldn't be something that is affected by your political stance.
Right.
Your view of justice should be getting the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's it.
All right. So I wanted to ask a question that kind of branches, that kind of combines two questions.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, what I'm trying to ask you is, do you think the Biden-based culture will cost him the election? And do you also see a third-party candidate shifting the election and having a groundbreaking performance? Because, you know, to offer third-party background, Justin Amash, he recently announced he's going to seek the Libertarian nomination. He used to be a Republican House rep. He turned independent. And then there's talk about former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura seeking the Green Party nomination. So do you see the rise in third party candidates, the name recognition amongst them? Do you see that as well as the Biden culture hurting Biden and helping Trump, or vice versa? How do you see that playing out in November?
So here's the thing about, so I'll address the Biden base first. We see a lot of animosity between Biden supporters and former Bernie Sanders supporters, like myself and like you, right?
Right.
There's
yeah.
been a lot of animosity between them because,
you know,
we're
I get,
not.
Yep. I get threats. So
I've you know,
kind of
it's
seen that end of that, right?
Once somebody sees that you support Bernie Sanders, or that you did, and you're not just falling in line and taking whatever the Democratic committee is giving you, which is Joe Biden,
right?
People are saying that you're not American. It's pretty much what happens when somebody disagrees with Donald Trump and conservatives come to his defense.
Right.
It's not based in any sort of interest in having a discussion about whose policies are better and why. It's more about vote for Biden or else Trump, or because, like, if you vote for a third party, like you said, if you vote for a third party, you're voting for Trump. That's what Biden supporters are saying.
Right.
To address that now, right? A vote for a third party is a vote for a third party. There's no, you can't argue that a vote for a third party is a vote for Trump or a vote for Biden. It's a vote for a third party. You're not. So basically what I think people mean when they say that is you're leaving the Democrats, which makes us weaker, yet Trump stays strong. So that's basically what they're saying, is that you're making the Democratic voter base weaker while Trump stays the same. So obviously he will win.
But on the other hand, that could be said, you know, because
that could be said about Justin Amash, right?
Exactly. Just not just Justin Amash. You know, he's a conservative in Michigan, a state Trump narrowly won. So
yeah.
If anything, Trump should be worried.
Exactly.
But then you also have to look at the 2012 and 2016 Libertarian nominee, Gary Johnson. He was governor of New Mexico, Republican Party. His running mate in 2016 was the former governor of Massachusetts, who even primaried Trump this time around, Bill Weld.
Mm-hmm.
So the same could be said there. It's not like Russia owns third party candidates.
that's oh god,
right.
Let's not get into that because that's something else. But
right.
The thing is that the third parties are other options for people who feel like they've been let down by the Republicans and Democrats. Both parties are letting people down because not everyone agrees with Donald. Not every conservative agrees with Donald Trump, and not every liberal agrees with Joe Biden. So
right.
there's other options for those people to go to because there are those other options, it allows this country to be a little bit more democratic. Instead of picking between two, you have other options. And I think that's a
Right.
good thing, because
So, do
two-party
you...
systems, let's not get into it, but I don't think that two-party system is that great of a thing for
Right,
this country.
as I always say, two parties and only one more than a dictatorship. So,
Right, exactly.
do you see a third party candidate having a groundbreaking performance? Because in 2016, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, Evan McMullen, they managed to muster up 5% of the vote. And then in a lot of states, Hillary narrowly lost. You could see that that was definitely in the numbers. Gary Johnson and Jill Stein managed to get numbers that Hillary couldn't get to win. So, do you just answer really briefly? Do you think that a third party candidate can possibly reach that 5% federal funding threshold or the 15% polling threshold for the presidential debates?
Well, so the 2016 election, during the 2016 election, the Democratic and Republican parties were a lot stronger and a lot more unified. And now they are both a lot less unified.
Right.
So, because of that, yes, there are definitely a lot of situations where people are going to vote third party instead of Democrat or Republican. And because of that, yes, they will have a huge impact on the election come November 4th.
Right. So
Exactly.
we know the Democratic candidates who strongly opposed Biden in the beginning called him out on it. They weren't holding back. Kamala Harris, she called him out on racially divisive policies. Pete Buttigieg and Tulsi Gabbard, they're veterans who called him out on his support for the Iraq War. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Tom Steyer, they like everybody was piling up on him. And now they're rallying behind Joe. A lot of that is in part to Tom Perez making them sign the contract to do so. And a lot of progressive candidates are still refusing to back Biden up, which is a bold thing in their position to do. You have to respect it, though. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to respect it. So there, a lot of them are saying they'll write Bernie Sanders in. I know you're undecided too, so I wanted to ask you the final question. If you were to vote today, with the options being Donald Trump for the Republican Party, Joe Biden for the Democratic Party, Justin Amash for the Libertarian Party, and Jesse Ventura for the Green Party, or your classic write-in option, who would you vote for?
So if the election was today, because I don't like either Joe Biden or Trump, neither of them have won my vote at all,
Right.
and I don't really know the reasons to vote for either Justin Amash or Jesse
Ventura.
Ventura, right?
Right.
Because I don't know, I wouldn't have any reason to vote for them. But like I've said this before, Bernie Sanders has won my vote since 2016. So if election day was today, he'd be my write-in.
Right.
That's it.
So that is all for tonight. Thank you for joining us again, Eric. I appreciate the different perspective being vocalized. I definitely wanted to vote for Bernie as well, because, in my eyes, he deserved my first presidential vote more than anyone.
Yeah, of
But
course.
the New York primary cancellation pretty much takes that away. Thank you for your time again. Have a
Of
great
course.
night. Now, before I wrap up tonight's episode, I want to shout out two progressives I am honored to call my friends, running to unseat powerhouse corporate Democrats in my home state of New York. Lauren Ashcraft, running for the seat of New York 12, and Shania Chowdhury, running in my very own district of New York 5. Disclaimer, we're not related. A lot of people jump to that assumption. So follow them on Twitter and help amplify their campaigns and messages at Shania2020. That's Shanyiat 2020. And vote Ashcraft, VoteAshcraft. That is all for today. Please feel free to subscribe and share and follow my Twitter at it's TanbirC, ITSTanbirC. Ask me questions for the next episode and stay safe, everyone, and have a great night.